we got these pouches and we wanted to send them to event planners because nobody knew us. Obviously, we're not coming into the industry the appropriate way. And we thought, you know, if anyone engaged us and they were unsure, our name was Quacktails anyway, you know, we'll just send them a pouch or two as samples. And if they liked it, they'll call us for events.
Hi, and welcome to the Peer Mental Circles podcast. My name is Oreoluwa George Taylor, and I'm the founder of Peer Mental Circles. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Peer Mental Circles, the podcast. And we're starting a new series today, which is going to be focused on new, unusual, different, and unconventional careers and businesses. So I'm in a different location to the normal studio, but I'm joined by Dare Adirinuku of Quacktails. Thank you. Thanks for joining me today and agreeing to be on the show.
Cheers. Thank you for having me, us, I guess.
Yeah. So let's start by talking about what Quacktails. So I'm going to start by saying I'm a big fan of Quacktails. A big fan of your drinks, a big fan of the brand overall. But I want to give you an opportunity to tell your own story. So do you want to tell us what Quacktails is and how it came about?
Okay. I mean, Quacktails is, I guess, a bartending service that offers cocktails on the go. I don't really have my elevator pitch yet, but yeah, basically we make cocktails that we enjoy drinking. It's myself and my sister. I think we started about 2 years ago. I'm not quite sure. We've been drinking for way longer. But we make cocktails. Should I talk about the story or just...
Yeah, sure. Please, go ahead.
Okay. So me, by nature, I'm an introverted person. But at the same time, I like a good drink, you know, and that creates a bit of a dilemma of sorts, you know. So I don't really like going out too much, but at the same time, I want to have a good drink. So I guess I just started drinking at home and building my, like, comfort in my house. And from one interest to another interest, started researching a bit more on drinks. First few are terrible. Go online, you know, refine. And it just sparked a curiosity in me.
So you said that you made a few bad cocktails. Can you give us an example of one that was really bad?
Yeah, so I mean, naturally, you know, it was just basically just mixing anything that I could grab my hands on. So obviously the first few were just typical bottle of Jameson, Sprite, try and add one or two things. Yeah, so anyway, we got curious, and obviously we thought there had to be a better, because these were not drinks that we were enjoying making. So we went online and just started reviewing, like, cocktail videos, articles, and just reading about the general history of this and that. And it was interesting because we'd see cocktails online and they'll have, like, maybe 5 different ingredients, and maybe out of, like, 3 of the 5 you couldn't get locally. And that just made us even more curious. So what we'll do is we'll substitute what we could substitute with local things we could find in the supermarkets and in our own markets. And the things we couldn't buy, would maybe try and make our own, you know. And yeah, so those were, like, the early days of Quacktails. Then every now and then would host friends, would have get-togethers, and people started coming back as the drinks were getting better. You know, the crowds were growing in the house.
I can attest to this. For drinks before.
So the crowds were growing in the house, and you know, friends and family used to nudge us back, we should do this, that maybe, you know, there's a business here. But we're not really taking it too seriously. So, I think this is the beginning of the story of Quacktails. So, the AJs, I don't know if you know them, the awesome, you know, food company, Ajemina and Ajoke came to our house one day. Like, they, and I feel like they had this all set up in their minds, because both of them came the evening, you know, and they sat down with us, and we just started drinking. And Ajoke, who's a relative of ours as well, her daughter was celebrating her first birthday. And she was like, oh, why don't we come and be like the bartenders at the birthday party? And we're like thinking, you know, we're not we're not like, you know, we're not bartenders. We have no training. We just enjoy making the drinks in the house. And, you know, would you really want us to come and spoil your event? You know, like, we don't know what we're doing, you know? And she was like, yeah, it doesn't matter, you know? So I mean, just our conscience was like, okay, you know what? Don't pay us, you know, just cover costs. And if the drinks are bad, at least you didn't really lose anything. So that was our first event. I think this was late 2019. I think her daughter's birthday is August 2019. I may be wrong, but it was around late last quarter of 2019. So we had the first event there, and things went quite well. So at the event, there was a person there from either an event company or the administrative, or anyway, the guys who do events in a really big oil and gas company. And this oil and gas company are known for the end of year parties, you know. So one of the guests was from the company, and they asked us to come and pitch for the end of year party. And I'm thinking, you know, this is getting out of hand, you know. When I was supposed to be here. So but at the same time, like, Mosu was like, look, she needs to go on a vacation. So maybe this will be her vacation money. So at that point, we're being invited for a formal job while we're doing our first informal event. And we thought, okay, you know, what's the worst that can happen? We already have like hundreds of recipes in our heads, and we've been practicing for so long. So if they don't like it, too bad, you know. But at the same time, we need to register a company because we were pitching for the contract, so to say, you know, maybe not a contract, but a job with a corporate, because they had to register us and this and that. So we're thinking of names that we could register for the name, and it just came naturally. So first and foremost, we make cocktails, so that's where the tails are from. And you know, quacks. We're not professional. We're kind of, you know, we're quacks, you know, so to say. So, and you know, from time, my nickname has kind of been Quack from secondary school for reasons I won't go into. But anyway, so yeah, so Quack Tails. I mean, it was kind of like a joke, because we felt like a joke company. But at the same time, if they wanted to give us their money, you know, we'll take it. So we went for the testing. They really liked it. They told us, okay, we had the job, and that's where it started. So we got a job with the first job was not a real job. The second job, or our first formal job, was supposed to be this end of year party for this really big coming. So we're going faster than we were prepared for. Anyway, long story short, I mean, I think before the end of year party, we were invited for a vendors meeting. It didn't go quite well, and we just decided we're not going to do it because we didn't feel like they were paying us appropriately. I felt like they were trying to play like the exposure card, and we're not really up for it. We had our own jobs, and we didn't really want to waste anybody's time. So we kind of told them that, look, we're not going to take the job. But then at that point, we had a company, and you know, we had nothing to do but to just like continue exploring. So the funny story is the pouches that we're selling today, we bought them to send them to make samples and send to event companies, you know. So we figured that we could maybe repackage ourselves as a company that, as a bartending service for small parties and friends. So we got these pouches and we wanted to send them to event plans because nobody knew us, obviously. We're not coming into the industry the appropriate way. And we thought, you know, if anyone engaged us and they were unsure, our name was Quacktails anyway, you know, we'll just send them a pouch or two as samples. And if they liked it, they'll call us for events. Anyway, we didn't really do too many events in our first year, and we just kind of shelved the company to the side, and we just went back to our normal lives, you know. So COVID happened, and I guess with COVID, people were stuck at home, and all those friends who used to come to our house for get-togethers and just sit-downs and drinks started calling us and asking us, you know, those drinks that you guys have, can you, like, send some to us, you know, we're kind of bored. And I think at that point, we had about 200 of those sample pouches, you know. And, like, people were like, you know, we'll pay you if if you send it to us. And we're thinking, okay, we're at home. I'm not really doing much anyway, so we might as well. And yeah, we started sending them out. And at this point, I don't even know how we've got to the point that we are. People just kept on referring, posting. And at every point, we noticed people were willing to give us our money. We started trying to build a company behind it. So it's when people talk about the brand or you guys really love what you're doing, it's kind of just going with the flow, you know, and catching up. And that's kind of where the company has always been. But it's good because we haven't had the time to overthink anything, and we just do things straight from, I guess, from our guts, you know, so we don't really think too much. Sorry, that was a long.
No, this was great. And I think it's a good introduction into the company as well.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, when you turned down the first big corporate opportunity,
yeah,
did you, so I guess at that time you'd created the company name and everything, but it was really just for that event.
It was just for that event. Yeah.
So in turning down that opportunity, were you then sort of scratching your heads about what you were going to do with Quacktails? I know you've mentioned that you later on you considered events. But was there a point where you were like, actually, let's not even bother doing this at all? Or I'm just wondering where your heads were at.
Yeah,
then.
Even up to walking into this meeting, I every time I think, what am I doing? You know, and how do we get to this point? You know, yeah. So at that point, I mean, we've gone back to our jobs. I work in a bank, and I work in a pretty intense department. You know, very high pressure. My sister is a lawyer as well, and the company she works for has their own fair share of cases to deal with. You know, so I mean, it was just always by the side. Like, if anyone wanted to have a small party, if I was our friends, would bring it out. You know, would dust out the bar, call our guys, and would. But we never really thought of being like a company. You know, it was just there. It was like a convenient, it was there. It was just there. So we're not thinking of developing until Corona happened.
Yeah. So I remember the lockdown. So for people that are not based in Nigeria, I think most people actually have been in some kind of government initiated lockdown during this pandemic.
Around the world, yeah.
But I remember just being like, gosh, I need a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that there was a service available that could just bring a drink directly to my front door, I remember thinking, wow, this is amazing. I hope I don't become an alcoholic. Because it wasn't just the fact that it's drinks that you like, it was the convenience of it as well. And I think maybe part of the success of Quacktails was how quickly you guys were able to mobilize and respond to the demand there. Mm-hmm. So given that it wasn't really your plan, but then you had all of these massive orders coming through suddenly, how did you start building a bit of structure in so that you could meet the demands that were coming?
Okay, that's an interesting one. We, as you said, we were always reactive, you know, but then at the same time, I like to be served a particular way, you know, and I'm very particular about my money. So I felt at that point where people were willing to pay, it was only fair that we created a service that was worthy of people's money. And there were a lot of mistakes. I'm sure you've also been on the end of many of our mistakes. So we started in our living room, to our kitchen, in our house. And as things grew, we built a small office space not too far away from my own house. How did we adapt to the demand? I guess just simple. The simple answer is just putting back as much money as we could into the business. So the thing is, making the drinks is the easiest thing, and it's always been the easiest thing for us because, to be honest, we've been practicing for so long. You know. Consciously and unconsciously, just being at home and mixing. So making the drinks was quite easy. But then we found that the hardest part was getting it to the people who wanted it in a good condition and in good time. If you've ever dealt with delivery companies, I mean, I know they're really hardworking, but a lot of things can go wrong. Like, and maybe not wrong, a lot of things can just... I'm trying to find a good word without...
There are mishaps.
Yeah, there are mishaps along the way, and it just affected like the way we wanted to deliver. Like it really like got on my nerves. Like I and honestly, till today, I feel like our service is not even as good as it should be. You know, if someone orders something as simple as a drink, I don't imagine that they want to wait 2 hours or 3 hours to get it. I mean, it's a drink. You know, they want it within an hour, within 30 minutes. But then we figure we'll give the delivery guys and they'll go about doing other deliveries. You know, by the time the drink gets to the final person, it looks like it's been mangled, you know. So we decided that, you know, all the profit we made, we're going to use it to build a space for ourselves. But then after building a space and building our inventory, the most important thing for us was getting our own logistics chain, you know. So the drinks were easy. Like, till today, I feel like we can make more drinks than we make. But then it was just investing in our logistics so we could serve people the way we wanted to be served. You know, I'd imagine if I'm ordering from a place like Knock or if I'm ordering from one of the good big restaurants, I don't want to wait 2 hours for my food. I don't want to wait 3 hours. I want to know what time my food is leaving, who's bringing my food, and, you know, what time to expect it. And we just thought, like, if anybody was giving us their money, they deserved that same level of service, regardless of if we started yesterday or if we've been in business for 10 years. And that's kind of how we ran with it. So we just invested the profits. As I said, we had jobs, so our personal lives were not too affected. It was extra income. And my sister and I just decided, you know, we'll just continue building the business to being what we would like to be, how we would like to be served. And when we get there, then we'll decide what next we want to do. Okay. And that's kind of how things came together.
Okay. So I've been to events where Quacktails have made drinks, mm-hmm. and you know, you have a team that works with you then to make the drinks as well. So how difficult or easy was it to build a team, and do you are those people with you full time, or do you just bring them in for specific events?
Yeah, that's a good question as well. I feel like everything, like our whole philosophy, can be described as just being Quack, because almost everybody in the kitchen today is, I think we have one traditionally trained bartender. And even the story as to how we met him is quite funny. It was in the first event, you know, he was the bartender there and a bunch of amateurs were there selling drinks across the road from him. So he got so curious that he came across the hall, and he came to our space and was like, "What are you guys doing?" You know, and from there we just started talking, and now he works with us full time. The rest of our staff have just kind of been picked up along the way. So because of the way we learned how to make drinks, it was more on YouTube. And most of the people who were watching on YouTube were not people who were traditional bartenders. These were people who developed the interest at home. So the methods were a bit, you know, different. So we realized most of the times when we had engagements with former bartenders, we had to try and make them unlearn more than, you know, so it was a bit difficult. So one of our things is that we get people who just understand or at least present themselves to understand the service that we're trying to deliver, you know, and how the margins are really thin. And if you understand service, we can teach you how to make the drinks. And staff have been, we have 8 people now, eight or nine people permanent with us. We have four riders, so 3 bikes and a car. We have 2 other bartenders. One is formally trained because the most important thing that we noticed in him was just his curiosity, not necessarily because he knew how to make drinks. In fact, all the drinks he's making today, we had to have like a period of 2 months for him to just unlearn the way he was making it, where he was coming from before he settled. And we have about 3 staff in the kitchen who now know how to make our base syrups and our sweet and sour mix, you know, and know how to juice the way we like to juice. So for us, finding staff, it's not been difficult because we kind of know when we meet you, if you have a curious mind, you know, from 2 or 3 questions, you can tell if this guy is curious and if he's willing to learn. And when we have events, there are people who are freelance waiters and freelance bartenders, but we like to use people that are in our kitchen first. And if you have two events in the same day, we require, like, if you're a freelance bartender, I require you to come into the kitchen at least 2 weeks and learn the recipes that we're making, the way we make them. And so it's not been too difficult.
I think that then explains sort of the consistency. You know how sometimes you can go to a restaurant and the same drink you ordered the last time you were there tastes different. Yeah. But each time I order from Quacktails, the drinks taste the same. There's a consistency in terms of taste.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment. But for us, I don't really like to place too much emphasis on, like, on the bar or the mixologist. Or so I think that's what the advanced bartenders call themselves. Because your drinks, no matter how good you can mix, you know, your drinks will taste bad if your ingredients are bad, you know. So for us, because in the beginning stages, we couldn't find a lot of things in the stores here. There are a lot of things that we saw online in the stores here. We started going down to, like, the fundamentals. So if we're going to make orgia, we just realized that orgia was just basically almonds, rose water, you know, and you cook it with some sugar. And we're thinking, instead of me trying to buy this fancy brand that makes, why don't I just buy almonds and make it myself, you know? And that philosophy just kind of went across all our drinks. So I think we have about 50 or so drinks, and 90 to 95% of the things that go into the drinks, we make them in our own kitchen, you know, which is why we call ourselves a kitchen before we call ourselves a bar, because the fundamentals of the drinks, we're making it ourselves, and we've been practicing for so long that we know, you know, how to, you know, keep it consistent. And I guess that translates into the drink. So if you go to a bar, maybe they're switching brands, and that's why the fundamentals may be, you know, mixed. But we place a lot of emphasis in making our own syrups and bases, and that goes into the drink. So the kitchen is more important to us than the bar itself.
So and it seems that you have sort of seasonal flavors that come in as well. So I'm guessing that's also in line with what's available
exactly
locally.
So we have this really awesome partner in Joss Grocery Lady, and she's been doing research over years as to seasonality of fruits and vegetables. So she has a calendar that she shares, and she lets us know when things are coming into season and when things are. And it's kind of exciting because, you know, we started being curious, and we don't ever want to stop being curious. So when things are leaving, you know, when things are out of season, instead of us buying the artificial flavor, we'd just rather use things in season. At the same time, it keeps the menu fresh. And I imagine it keeps people interested in, like, you know, just exploring tastes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that's definitely the case for me. I'm always like, okay, wait, what season are we in now fruit-wise? What am I going to be seeing on the menu? So, I love that. So let's talk a bit about your online presence now. Yeah. So I'm guessing that initially it was really just a way of people, like, you know, literally people just need to be able to get in contact to order drinks. But now you've expanded. There's a very clear logo and design. Your Instagram page is literally full of rubber ducks in different outfits and doing different things. You've collaborated with Anola Cards as well. So how did some of these things come about, and what inspired? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what inspired the basic, like, the social media branding and imaging?
This is a very, very, very nice question again. I guess, I don't know, like, for one, the name of the company is Quacktails, so you can never really be that serious. and when you think Quacktails, I don't think you're thinking of really gourmet cocktails. So by even coming to check the page in the first place, you know, we imagine that, you know, you're in for a bit of a laugh, you know? One of the biggest things for us is nostalgia. Like, I find, like, nostalgia to be the most powerful, like, tool when it comes to marketing, and just something that reminds you of, like, a good place you've been. You know, it's that's how I create, like, bonds with my own brands. You know, so we thought we wanted to build our delivery service around just general nostalgia, you know, from when you were a little child, when you first tasted, whether it was Ribena, you know, that feeling you got, you know, that connection of, wow, I love this, you know, and this is going to be with me forever, you know. So the pouches reminded us of like Capri Sun pouches.
Yes,
you know?
With the straws.
With the straws, you know, like, you know, it's taking you back to being a child. The flavors, just imagine you just tasting like a new flavor of Ribena or a new, you know, Fanta Chapman. You know, these were things that were really exciting when I was growing up. I wanted to create like a brand that had a character similar to like your cereal, you know, like when you're buying Frosties, you know, you're getting Tony the Tiger, you know, when you're buying Coco Pops, is the, I don't know the name of the monkey guy, you know, like every nostalgic brand had this character. We wanted to create something that, you know, was just 360, you know. That's why we have the little stickers, because when I was small, I like stickers and sticking stuff, you know. I'm drinking out of this Capri Sun looking pouch, you know, a new flavor goes into my head, and you know, that's just that connection. And we just wanted the feeling to be 360. In terms of the Instagram page, I think the early days when we just started and we didn't really know who we were trying too hard. So we had pictures of fancy cocktails, trying to take fancy angles, but it just felt so pretentious. And we just thought, you know, if anyone is going to come here, like, we want someone who's going to be completely curious. So they don't really need to see the product. They just come into this world and, you know, see a rubber duck. You see a rubber duck. You're rolling the dice. It's either you're going to take the chance with cocktails or not. And if you don't, that's fair, you know. So the branding was that. I don't think it was meant to stay for this long. But then there are just so many rubber ducks out there on the internet that we feel like we need to...
I can't believe how many you found. There was a day where I went onto the page to see... I think I wanted to check if the kitchen was open.
Yeah.
And I was like, where do they find this many images? There was one in particular. I think maybe, I don't know if you guys were going on a break or maybe closing over Christmas, or like there was a period that maybe you were closing. And it was a rubber duck with, you know, like when you were a kid and you see the cartoon of the kid running away with and they'd have a stick over the shoulder with like something wrapped at the end. And I remember doing that when I was a kid, like, oh, I'm running away. I'm being really dramatic and trying to find a stick that I could use.
That's
to
how it looks when
you're moving. Literally. And so I saw that and I was like, where did they even find this image? How can there be this many duck images?
There are so many. There are so many. But yeah, so, I mean, that's exactly what it is, you know, and the branding is just reminding you of, like, that time where, you know, your thoughts were so pure and innocent and, you know, giving you some alcohol to embellish the memories. And that's what it is. So the branding is based on nostalgia, the way you are with the Capri Sun, you know, when you're tasting a flavor for the first time, and the character, you know, because that's what cereal companies did. And it just makes you think of flavors, you know, the tiger, Frosted Flakes, the monkey, chocolate, you know, and yeah, that's where it is, you know, just being quack and creating a philosophy around it as 360, you know.
So then how did the collaboration with the cards come up?
Anuela girls, when they're so professional, I mean, I work corporate, you know, I work in a proper corporate bank. And, you know, sometimes you get this impression that guys in the SME space are not as, you know, organized as, but I've been pleasantly, like, surprised. Like, the level of service and the sort of things people are doing in the SME space is just mind-blowing. Cards, I think we'd always seen their cards and we always thought they were funny. We liked their style. The designs were always so clean. And we just kind of reached out to them, you know. And, you know, just when people would order, every now and then people would ask for like a note, you know. Or maybe they were sending it or gifting it to people. And they would ask for like, oh, can we write happy birthday? Or can we write, oh, congratulations on your new job? And we just really like the Anuela cards, and they seem to have a card for every occasion. So we just approached them. We had a call, and you know, within 1 or 2 days, they sent us designs. They sent us like a storyboard. It was just really, it's really been good working with them. And whenever there's a new event coming up, before we even speak with them, they already have like something, you know, for us. You know, so I mean, it just came out of a place where people just wanted to share the drinks. And at the same time, wanted to share memories and moments. And we just wanting to also be part of that experience. And the Anuela girls understood. And they turned out the cards. I mean, the designs, 100%, you know, it's their own creative direction. They understand where the brand is and what the brand is trying to say. So it's usually really, really easy, and 100% recommend. No matter what it is you're doing, I'm sure the Anuela guys can come up with a really nice card to go with it.
So I used them recently, and I was really impressed with the speed as well.
Ah, yeah.
Speed and efficiency.
Same day, like, you know, they're really good. Like,
seamless.
I recommend.
So let me ask, what are you most proud of when you think about Quacktails and what you've been able to do over, like, the past 1 to 2 years?
There's so many things to be proud of. I mean, just seeing how well people have responded. The reviews have been really nice. I mean, these are drinks that I was making at home and didn't really think they were that good. My sister and I, you know, and just seeing people just paying for things that we make is just, it's mind-blowing. Like, people are giving us their own money for, you know, these things. So I guess just making sales and having just feeling like being a part of the community, you know, the people around us are supporting us. We try to support people around us as well. And just seeing that we can build a business within our own selves, using things from within our direct community, and just being part of the SM, the small business community, just very nice. It's a nice feeling. I don't know if that's the answer, but it's a nice feeling just being part of, like, the community. And
so yeah. Do you see, do you think that there's going to be more, like, a further expansion of Quacktails? And if you could expand into anything else or collaborate with any other brand or company, are there any that you'd have in mind?
Yeah, I mean, so far you're here in Lagos, and yeah, we love collaborations. In terms of expansion, we're continuing to expand, because since we started, every other month has been a growth. I mean, with the exception of, say, a month like December, where things grew because of the events and just the general fudge in Nigeria and January. But we've been growing every month. Sales have been increasing. Our suppliers now recognize us as a proper company, so they're willing to give us drinks on credit. We have people who've come to us and have asked us that, you know, when you're ready to grow, we're here to invest. So I think we'll continue growing. We want to be a proper retail company, in the sense that you can approach us and within an hour or less, we can deliver to you, regardless of if you know who we are or not, you know. So we want to build a business around it. And I think we're putting things in place. We have a proper law firm that we're working with to help us with our agreements and trademarking. We're investing more in our logistics so we can have a proper business. And yeah, we have goals in terms of down the line. I mean, we'd like to make our own spirits eventually. We'd like to have, even if we don't have our own farm, we'd like to have our own aggregation network where we work with different farms around the country to provide and to develop, you know, more fruits, or the fruits that we have today, make them better, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of ideas. I mean, logistics, we think about how we can improve our logistics, our supply, and eventually going into making, you know, proper bottled spirits or cocktails in bottles, you know. Yeah, there's so many things I would like to do, but step by step.
And isn't it amazing how this all started from a one-year-old's birthday party?
Yes, yeah, it's amazing. And I think that's been the most interesting part for us is, I mean, I don't want to say we don't have a plan, but we're kind of like malleable, and we're growing the business day by day just by being in the business, you know. And we don't have a rigid plan, and we don't have too much pressure from anyone telling us, oh, you have to do this a certain way, you know. We know the type of service that we want, and hopefully we'll build and continue building the service to, you know, being that in reality and out of our mind. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
It is interesting, and it's been an interesting journey. So I'm glad that you're able to come in and share it with us. So for people that may not have heard of Quacktails but are based in Lagos, where can they find you? Here's your opportunity for all your social media plugs.
Well, we're on two platforms. We're on Twitter, which is Quacktails_NG. And we're on Instagram, Quacktails.NG. Just shoot us a DM and we'll be happy to either recommend a drink to you. You can talk to us about drinks that you like, cocktails, and we'll tell you about our processes. DM us and we can deliver to you same day, Wednesdays to Sunday. We don't open on Mondays because that's our weekend. And on Tuesday, we're partially open, but just for pre-orders, because Tuesday is the day we do our inventory check and engage our suppliers on make our syrups and prepare. So Wednesdays to Sundays, we're here for you guys. Just holla at us on Twitter and Instagram.
Awesome. Dare, thank you so much. I also want to take an opportunity to do shout out Musum as
well.
Yeah,
Musum, yes.
Other half of Quacktails. Thanks for joining me in the studio today. It's been really, really, really great hearing about Quacktails and your journey so far.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing what else comes with and from the brand. A big personal fan. So if you are looking for really, really, really good cocktails, then shoot them a message and try them out.